close have you come to God? How close have you found yourself in your living and throughout your life? How close have you come to God? There have been many times in my life when I am sure I've had near misses with the Almighty, near misses with the amazing one who created this incredible universe. One time I was driving back from Wichita Falls to Dallas. This was back in the late 1990s, probably 1998 or so. I'd been asked to teach a semester of Biblical Greek at Perkins School of Theology. They had way too many students who wanted to take Greek, and so they had to add an extra section, and I was the person they came to teach the class. And so I'm driving in from Wichita Falls to Dallas several times each week to teach this class, back and forth and back and forth. I was making the trip so often that my car knew the road. I could have just been sitting there, and it would have driven itself in and back, out, in and back, in and back. So I'm sitting there driving along. I've made the drive down from Wichita Falls to Decatur. I've turned onto 380 from Decatur towards Denton. It was a beautiful day. It was in the fall. The air was lovely and clear. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was sunny and gorgeous. And I'm just sitting there relaxing, enjoying the drive in, and listening to a book tape, when suddenly, out of nowhere, startling in its prominence, there was a jarring look. It was like something just punched me in the side, or tapped me on the shoulder, or forced me to rip my attention away from that zone of dozing that you kind of get into when you're driving long distance over a long distance. You're listening to a book or to music, and you're just kind of zoning. You're paying attention to the road, but you're not paying attention to the road. You all know the kind of state you can be in at times, and that's the state I was in. And suddenly, in the middle of nowhere, startling in its prominence, was this sudden look. Hey, Greg. And then I looked, and something told me I needed to act. I don't know what it was. I don't remember. There was nothing particular about what I saw that struck me as unusual. I saw oncoming traffic on the other side of the lane. It was a two-lane highway then, and there was this car coming, and he was starting to get close, and we're both going, I guess, 65 miles an hour towards each other. But Sutton told me I needed to swerve to the right. So I started to swerve to the right, and as I swerved to the right, I noticed that this car started swerving to its left, into the center of the lane and towards me. The more I swerved to the right, the more it swerved to the left. I got onto the shoulder. It was coming right for me. If I didn't do something, we were going to impact. We were going to hit. It was going to be a kablooey accident. I slammed on the accelerator and went off the road, off the shoulder, onto the gravel on the side, and missed getting hit by that car by inches. I slammed on the brakes, came to a stop, backed up, got out, ran. The car had gone into the ditch and stopped. Its engine was just racing like crazy. I got there, but the driver was already dead. I think he had been dead before he swerved into my lane. It was one of those moments when you felt just, oh. You felt like God had just, or somebody or something had just walked across your grave. It was one of those instances that once it was over with, you're shaking with adrenaline and your heart's racing and you realize how close you came to dying yourself. In that moment, I knew that God had been with me. I knew that God was right there with me. I thought I was alone in that car. I wasn't. God was with me. It was a near miss with that car, and thanks to God, I am alive today. It was a near miss with God. One of those moments when God was right there. God was in my presence. If it had not been for God acting to yank my attention away from dozing, I would have died probably in a head-on collision. But because of God, I'm here today. Several years earlier, July of 1993, I remember it exactly because it was my first communion Sunday as pastor.
Celeste Kingston in White Rock.
My first appointment back in North Texas. I was on my way from the White Rock congregation, which is now closed, to the Celeste Church for communion. And behind me, following me really closely, was a family that goes to the Celeste Church. I guess they figured that if they get there right after the pastor, they won't be late. And they were right. So I'm going along the road. It wasn't a farm-to-market road. It was a rather rickety road, but it was a good shortcut across from White Rock to Celeste. And so I'm peeling down this road, trying to get there in time before the church service starts, because that multi-point charges, you have multiple services. So I'm going down the road, and I hit this curve, and I make this sharp curve to the left. And as I'm making the sharp curve, it's a blind curve. There's trees and bushes in the way. And as I'm making this curve, I come around the corner, and there in front of me is a cow. Uh-oh. There's no way I could stop. To this day, I have the following mental images in mind. These little snapshots, like someone took a camera and took these pictures through my eyes. The first view is of that cow looking at me going, uh-oh. Or words to that effect. The next scene is of the cow having bounced off the hood of my car, four legs in the air, coming right for me. And then the next scene is of these people, church members, looking down on me, and I'm looking up at them, and they're going, "Are you okay?" As I'm laying in the grass, they have pulled me out of my car, and I'm in the grass. And they told me what happened. They said, "I hit the cow. The cow bounced off my hood into the air, rotated sideways, and slammed down in the passenger side." And I'm only alive today because of that little twist that the cow made in midair. Another near miss with God. Another opportunity of knowing that I was in the immediate, real presence of God, that God was right there with me, that God had been going with me. I did not know God was there, but God was there. In my immediate presence. And because God was there, I am here today. Now, I'm sure that all of us have similar kinds of stories throughout our lives, that we could tell stories of when we knew we were in the immediate presence of God, where we know that if it hadn't been for God being right there, we'd be tomato jam on the highway. If it weren't for God being right there, we'd be toast. If it weren't for God being right there, we'd be in trouble. If it weren't for God's immediate presence, God going with us, we would be lost. And yet, we go through our lives as if that's not the case. We go through our lives as if God isn't there. We go through our lives not expecting God to be there. We go through our lives wondering, where is God? We ask God, why aren't you with us when God is with us? God, why aren't you here today when God is here? God, why aren't you here with us in worship when God is here? God, why aren't you with me here in the hospital when God is here? I went and visited Judy at the emergency room before they transferred her to Greenville. Yes, Judy's in the hospital in Greenville. We need to keep her in our prayers. She's doing all right. She's going to have stress tests tomorrow, but she's doing okay. And when I sat there and chatted with her, I at some point we were talking, and she asked me what I was going to preach on today, and I told her, and she says, "Well, God's always with me." Wow. Here she is, in the emergency room, afraid, possibly having heart trouble, concerned about it, and yet she looks at me with the face of an angel that she is and says, "God's always with me." If only that could have been Moses' response. If only that could be our response. Moses today is guilty of what most of us are guilty of. We say, "Where are you, God? Why aren't you going with us? Why aren't you here?" That's what Moses was asking. Moses wasn't listening to God. God had already told Moses, "You have found favor in my sight. I will go with you." God's already told Moses, "My presence will go with you." And then Moses says, "Well, if your presence won't go with us..." It frustrates me to hear Moses say this, but he does. "How am I going to know that you're going to go with me? How am I going to know that you're going to be with me? For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us?" God's already told him that God would go with him. God's already told him that the presence of the Lord will be with him and with the people. God's already said, "I will go with you." God said it many times, not just here, but many times before. "I will go with you. You are not going alone. My presence is with you. Going into Egypt, my presence is with you. My presence was with you when you were a little baby in a basket in the Nile River, and you were taken from that river, and you received your Egyptian name, Moshe, which means drawn from. I was with you even then. I was with you when you were growing up years. I was with you when you left Egypt having murdered someone. I was with you when you were in the wilderness. I was with you when you were herding sheep. I was with you at the burning bush. I was with you when you went back into Egypt to deliver my people out of Egypt. I was with you as you crossed the Red Sea. I have been with you in the wilderness here. I was with you at Horeb. I was with you on the rock when you struck it for water. I've been with you the whole time, Moses. And I will be with you." And yet he says, "How shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us?" Moses, listen. Like Moses, we too are talking off at the mouth. We're busy telling God how great and wonderful God is and how much God needs to be paying attention to us when God is already here in our midst. The Lord said to Moses, after Moses is done running off at the mouth, asking why God can't be with him, after God had already said God would be, God says, "I will do the very thing that you have asked. The very thing that you have asked. I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And God said, "I will make my goodness pass before you." I love that. I will make my goodness, my good things, literally, my wonders, my glories, my goodness pass before you. "I will make my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you the name the Lord." Now in Hebrew, that's Yahweh. "So I will go before you, my goodness will pass in front of you, and in front of you I will proclaim my own name to you. I am the one." Yahweh. I am the one. "I will make my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you the name the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Yeah, that's right. That's what we need. We want God to walk with us, to be with us, to walk by us, to be in front of us, and to show mercy and grace to us. Yes. We need that. And he begins to do that. God starts to do that. God starts to pass in front of Moses. But he adds, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." Huh? Well, how can we see God and not see God's face? How can we see God and not see God's face, God's countenance? We know people by their faces. How can we know God if we don't see God's face, if we don't see God face to face? You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live. Why? That's my question. Well, Moses doesn't argue here. He knows the answer. Humans, being what we are, imperfect, with many imperfections, sins, cannot survive in the unfiltered presence of God. It's a miracle he can survive as much as he already has, or the Israelites could survive as much as they already have, being in the presence of God. But to have the glory of God shining forth right there, if God were not to protect him, he would be blown away. He would have dissolved in the presence of all that glory. You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live. And the Lord continued, see, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. God's grace and mercy, which he talked about just a moment ago, extends to Moses' imperfection, Moses' inability to stand in the presence of God, Moses' infinitesimally tiny itty-bitty self, and the enormity of his own sin. God's mercy and grace covers him, metaphorically with the hand. I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. It's a very powerful image. It's one that spoke to authors and to poets and to hymn writers throughout the centuries. One of my favorites is Fanny Crosby. It's not in our hymnal, but it's an amazing hymn. Our wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Was inspired by this passage. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. What does it mean to be covered with God's hand? We can't tolerate the presence of God without some kind of filtering. Usually it's the filtering of our own ignorance. Our own ability to see and know God being there other than by faith. What does it mean to have God's hand covering us, hiding us in the cleft of the rock and covering us? Christians have seen in this image the presence of Jesus Christ. In the Transfiguration story, we have two of these Old Testament characters, Moses on the one hand and Elijah on the other, both of whom encountered God on a mountain. Moses here encounters God in God's majesty, in the glorious searing light of God's amazing presence, so amazing that he could only look on God's back and was covered by God's hand. Elijah encounters God in the silence on the mountain. God wasn't in the earthquake, God wasn't in the fire, God wasn't in the lightning, God wasn't in the thunder, God was in the silence. In the silence, Elijah knew God's presence. And both of them come in the story on the Transfiguration, and they minister to Jesus there on the mountainside. And it says in the story of the Transfiguration that Jesus' whole raiment and whole body fluoresced with great light, like a stained glass window, backlit by the sun. And they could see through Jesus the glory of the fullness of God dwelling within him. That face of God that Moses could not look on, that face of God that would blow us away because of our sin. That face of God was present in Jesus. That face of God was known in Jesus, in His love, in His compassion, in His self-giving sacrifice for us. That love of God was known. That hand of God that filters us and shields us and loves and stands in for us. Christians see in this story God's presence, and in the hand they see Jesus sheltering us from ourselves, from the majesty of God that would blow us away. Sometimes we think of God as, you know, our best friend and our pal, and we have conversations with God, and we think that God is right here with us, and we're going to sit down and have lunch with Him, and He's going to tell us what kind of toilet paper to buy, and all this other, you know, blasé kind of stuff. No. God is imminent in Jesus, but God is also distant, enormous and amazing beyond our comprehension, incapable of being encompassed within this narrow space within our skulls. The one who created all the amazing universe creates us, loves us, and in Jesus covers us by dying for us. What near misses with God have you had? Where has God been present in your life, in your relationships? Is your life and your relationships today, are they suffering? Is your relationship with God faltering? Is your relationship with your husband or your wife or your children or your grandchildren faltering? Or your grandparents, are they faltering? God is with you. All we have to do is listen. And in moments of distress and difficulty, be aware that God is there saying, look, pay attention, swerve. God is with you. That's what I said to Judy. She reminded me of that. God is with you. God is with us. And yes, He hideth us in the cleft of the rock like He hid Moses. And He covers us with His hand, protecting us from ourselves. His love, His mercy, His grace shields us. Give thanks and praise to God that like Moses, we can be in the presence of God. Give thanks and praise to God that like Moses, even when we argue with God, God is there, God listens, God reaches out to us, God forgives, God struggles with us, and God goes with us into today, into tomorrow, and into eternity.
Your presence, Lord, let me learn at Your feet. I will taste the riches of Your word by Your grace upon
You've been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2017 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.